You are now tuned in to Let's Talk Ferrella, and this is a new segment I like to call Cypher Something. I have some guest stars with me that I'm going to introduce you after this amazing beat. Shouts out to Bob. Blah! Yo, what's up, man? This is Let's Talk Ferrella, and I'm here on video and I'm here on audio, but I got a special guest star with me, Poor City Hero, Vegan Hero, Rap Visionary, like the most entrepreneurial guy that I've ever met, ever, CB, Carlos Bryant. He's here, man.
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
What's up with my boy,
he got on the plaid dad hat. What's up with you, boy?
What's up, man? I'm glad to be here. I'm happy you have me on here, man. I'm excited to talk some game and just chill, man. It's a wonderful Sunday evening, afternoon, I guess. And I'm feeling good and ready to inspire, hopefully. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How's everything going with you, man? I see you doing your thug thizzle, too. Don't be hyping me up too much.
Man, I'm really trying to just really focus on creating generational wealth for the black community. Like, back in the day, the way that black people used to keep it in the family was, we use the term, putting people on. If I get a job, you get a job, you put on, you get your son a job, that's generational opportunity.
Yeah.
So the same way that I'm trying to revamp that is building a brand step by step, just so I can turn around and show the people step by step that, hey, that 9-to-5 doesn't have to be the end game. You can do something else.
Yeah.
You don't have to do my method, but here it is exactly. Step by step, I fucked up. I spent the money. I got into the arguments and the fights. You don't have to.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
Live vicariously through me. That's what I tell.
Yes, sir.
That's why I be telling these. Just to piggyback off what you're saying, like, whenever I talk to young cats, or even, like, I like talking to, I'll talk to younger people about my aspiration to talk to more older people because I can learn so much from them.
Yeah.
Like, you can take what their mistakes were, and you can kind of make a decision. Like, okay, I'm not going to do that. Some things you might still do, like, you know, it might not work for him, but it might work for me. But some things you're like, okay, let me avoid that route because they already did it that way. So that's one of those things, you know what I mean? I think you got to be able to live vicariously through people and if their mistakes and not do the same thing. You mean, because you can save yourself so much time because it may have taken them 3 or 4 years to make that mistake they made.
Mm-hmm.
And you can save yourself all that time by just listening to them, hearing their story. And now you save 4 years of going down the wrong path or making the wrong decision.
Yeah,
move that energy somewhere else. So that's what I'm all about, though. So that's good, man. And that's how we got to do it. Create that generational wealth. And I think it's a generational Rolodex within our minds, like a knowledge.
Yeah.
Like a base for our kids once we have kids and then, you know, and people down the line. So they really be set up. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited.
I love that. I ain't gonna lie. I like that. I like that 100,000%. And it's like, shit, I honestly had read a book. It was an entrepreneurial book.
Okay. What book
and was it? What was it? 45 Rules of Power.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? Have you read that book?
I know what you're talking about.
So one of the rules of power that they had was they called it having the goose mentality.
Okay.
So having the goose mentality is when goose or geese migrate, they stand in a triangular line because the goose at the front of the line, he gets hit with all the rocks, all the bugs. He's the one making the airway for everybody behind him to fly a lot smoother.
Yeah.
And then once he's done getting beat up, he turns and then the next goose takes his path and then so on and so forth. Everybody is working towards a destination, but everybody understands you got to take that pounding for the next guy, just so we can get further in our end game.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's like, I've really been liking what you really been doing with the community, man. I see that you got the vegan truck going. Like, what's up with that?
The vegan truck. So that, and I think before I even get into that, because I have some partners invested with me, and we have a vegan food truck, and it's a blessing. It's just a funny story with that. Because I've been vegan, vegetarian, I guess, the last 3 years of my life. And it's really changed my mindset. The clarity I have, I think my business mind really developed once I switched my diet over to something like that.
Yeah.
And then it's just strange. I think we were talking about it before we started shooting. It's like whenever I go to these richer communities and I talk to these people of other ethnicities about my transition to veganism, they're very happy and they're like, wow, good, you're doing so well. That's so, you know, your family must be doing proud, da da da. And I go back to like people I know in my close proximity and they're like, why would you do that? That's stupid. It's a joke to them. Because I think we've been brainwashed that like you know, top ramen and like these foods we've always eaten, that it's like the best bet, bro.
And
it's so sad.
I feel like so that mentality right there, I love so much because I didn't realize that it was more to be had out of life until you're in these other places with people who have been living this lifestyle every day since they were younger.
Yeah, I know, man.
Like I'll be around my guys. You know how we is. And everybody's hanging out. And for instance, somebody be like, yo, you trying to get in now? And I'm like, nah, man. Like, I'll really go tear up like a veggie hamburger.
Yeah.
A veggie hamburger seasoned right is the exact same thing as a burger. And it's like with my peers, my brothers, my people of color, we make it such a normality to be like, man, Carlos, like, bro, what you mean you eating vegan, bro? Like, if you don't go kill yourself with them sodium ramen noodles, a lot of people don't know you can only eat one pack of top ramen noodles a year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Safely, bro. Yeah. And then the black culture, we taught that that's what y'all supposed to eat every day. Yeah. But you go hang around the white boys your same age and they're like, Carlos, what are you doing? it's all about what they normalized versus what we had normalized, bro. Yeah,
and I think I talked to somebody and just to, you know, keep going with what you're going off of. I think I talked to somebody and we kind of talked about like, it's like, I actually talked to a nurse about this and she was saying that when you are, a lot of black and brown people are, especially like coming from Stockton, are not in the best financial position. The people that I've known on, you know, from Southside, wherever I grew up on. So it's like, people don't have money, man. And then usually people don't have money. You know, people get it twisted, but a lot of people that don't have money are still busting their ass working every day, working 2-3 jobs. And that was the same incident with my mom, my grandma, you know what I mean? And when people aren't home, you know, what do they got? Hot Pockets, Lunchables, top ramen, just, you know, TV dinners, because there's nobody home, you know, nobody to watch the kids. The kids watch the kids. I was 11 years old with me and my brother and sister. I was, like, cooking for my brother and sister, top ramen. My mom said, hey, they get hungry, throw these in the oven.
Or, eggs, you know, hot pockets, eggs, hot anything pockets, quick and fast.
Cut some hot dogs out of that. And it's not the best bet, but I don't think there was any malice in our parents or care providers' hearts when they did that. They were just trying to make ends meet. And I think now, piggybacking off that, the success that people like you, myself, are starting to generate, we owe it to ourselves to spend a little bit more on our health as far as, like, our food or whatever, our lifestyle choices. Me and my girl talk about that all the time. Excuse me. And she's like, man, it's so expensive to go to Sprouts. Because it is. Or, like, Sprouts or Trader Joe's.
But it's worth it.
Exactly. But I always tell her, I'm like, well, that medical bill, if we don't, if I go to Food for Less and I just eat junk all the time, like, that medical bill going to be worse later. I'd rather, you know what I mean?
I'd rather spend the money. It's like, going to Sprouts, like, you build up to Sprouts. Like, when your life changes, you don't go to Sprouts because people told you. You'll just end up there.
Yeah.
I swear. One moment, we at Winco. Next moment, dude, I'm eating chocolate. Like, bro, we used to get the chocolate pudding at Winco. One moment, I grab a pudding out. I'm like, yo, babe, like, there's a hole in this. We look, bro, fat ass rat, fall out the aisle. After that, we never went to Winco. Went to Walmart. Bro, we brought some fruit home from Walmart. Out of nowhere, we had the worst fruit fly infestation in our crib, bro. Didn't know why. We was cracking open the fruits from Walmart. They was fucked up. After that, we start going to Sprouts. You realize it's not so colorful in there when it comes to the snacks and the cookies, mm-hmm. but them ingredients, dude.
Different.
It's different. Like, they meat. Yeah. Like, farm-raised meat.
Yeah,
like,
me, yeah.
Dude.
It's pricey, but it's like, if you're gonna, and I tell people that all the time, if you're gonna, like, me, I'm a vegan, but I'm not, like, a vegan that's pushing everybody to follow my lifestyle. I just tell people, if you're gonna indulge in these meats or dairy products, make sure it's of the purest grade. Because, you know what I'm saying, a lot of this junk is horrible. That is one of my things, though. I do, like, I have nothing against people that eat meat, but dairy, I do tell people, like, hey, man. Like,
oh, this milk. Is oat milk.
No, for sure. But I do tell people all the time because, especially, I think, like, our bodies just can't. It just doesn't make sense to me that, humans are the only mammals that after our mother's milk dries up,
we're the only ones who keep consuming milk. Like any other say that all the time. Like, not even cows drink milk after birth.
No.
And we're the only mammals who consumes another animal's milk after birth.
Life. For life. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't make sense.
You're not supposed to.
No, yeah.
And you're not supposed to.
Some of the strongest animals that, you know, you see these big, muscular animals that hunt and everything like that, and they don't. They just...
Water.
Yeah. So water. You know, they say after your mom's breast milk dries up, it's like, you're done. You need to find other supplementation to make it happen.
Bro, some of the biggest animals on the planet are herbivores.
I know, it's crazy.
Elephant, giraffe, horse, knock the wind out your stomach. All muscular, all endurance. So it's like, but like you said, when it comes to vegan and trying to achieve a lifestyle of success, just like even financial literacy, it's not something you can hand to somebody.
No, no.
I can't be like, Carlos, you killing yourself. I can't be like, Carlos, put that cigarette out. You killing yourself. Until you experience your lungs is fucked up. Until you experience, yo, I'm starting to get bumps and rashes all over my body.
Overweight.
Yo, my digestion is fucked up. Bro, like you said, even to take a step back further, it's all about what we was brought up on that was normalized in our households. Like, think about how black people and watermelon is the most stereotypical thing ever to be put together. But one point in time, that was the biggest commodity in the black community. Mm-hmm. Bigger than oil ever was for the Rockefellers. But we got brainwashed to say, oh, y'all selling that watermelon? Why? Yeah. We stopped selling it. Stop that generational wealth. And just like, shit, when being a vegan, it's you gotta want more for yourself.
I think, too, and you have valid points. For me, I think with veganism, what it took for me is I come from a family of diabetics, man. I come from a family of people in wheelchairs earlier than they should have, missing, you know, limbs. My uncle, you know what I mean, he was an amazing man. He passed early from a heart attack, like literally, like, on the kitchen floor, like, when I was a kid, you know what I'm saying? It was, like, 99 or something, or 99. And it's just crazy, bro. I'm like, these people are so young. And then I see, like, I have friends of Mexican descent, of, you know, white friends, whatever. And I see their parents and grandparents living in, like, 90, comfortably walking around. And I'm like, I got family members in their 40s that are in walkers. I'm like, what? This is crazy, bro.
But think about
so
the...
crazy, man.
It's the households. In your house, Carlos, what you doing? You call that season? You call that cooked meat?
Yeah.
You at Charlie Boy's house. Yeah. They don't need no seasoning.
No.
They don't need no seasoned butter and cornbread and sugary nothing.
That's the running joke we use. Like, yo, they don't season their food, but I mean.
Bro, vegan food ain't seasoned.
No.
Healthy food ain't sweet.
No.
Like, it's the mindset of black people. Y'all get the seasoned food. We get the gout. We get the limbs cut off. We get the diabetes.
And honestly, it messes with you, like, especially as men, man. It messes with your sexual reproductive system, man, like how your just man parts work, you know what I'm saying? Like, seriously.
Give an example. What you mean?
No, like, I know,
like, not eating good to make me, like, not get hard no more.
Yeah,
I need some real deal content.
It fucks you up, man. Yeah, exactly.
That, honestly, that
is... Not necessarily meat, but just eating bad in general, man. I think you gotta have a good diet, bro. As you get older, like, I don't know. Maybe the ladies can agree, or they, you know, maybe they know, they don't know. But that's something that I've known, and I know as a diabetic person as well.
Have heard that vegan dick is the best dick, but go ahead.
What do you mean by that? You had what?
It was like a podcast, and then, like, motherfuckers was, me starting my vegan journey.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's the girl that, that created what's that vegan shop? Something slut? Vegan slut?
Oh, Slutty Vegan.
Slutty Vegan. She's
Vegan
the one
Cole,
who...
bro.
Yeah, yeah,
I
her.
I have a funny story about her, too.
Oh, what?
Whenever you want it. So, going back to the food truck, because this is what started this whole tangent.
Yeah.
So we started the food truck, and we had it running for like a year and a half, 2 years. And at that time, we were just doing straight, regular, typical Mexican food, like asada, chicken, pork. That was our, you know, regular, just a regular, you know, whatever. And then one day, you know, things were happening, like, we're making money, but things were happening. The truck was shutting down because of repairs. Like, we were having people, like, going back and forth with other vendors about just beefing over small stuff. this stupid stuff all the time. Like, and I'll be like, why does this stuff keep happening? Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. So one day I watched a podcast with her on it on YouTube, and she talked about how she used to own a jerk chicken spot. And she was making money, but she kept running into all these issues. And then one day, her restaurant, the jerk chicken spot, burned down. Mm-hmm. And she opened the Slutty Vegan. She came up with that idea, and then it popped off. And she was reflecting, saying, like, man, I was a vegetarian at the time, but I was running a jerk chicken shop. She said, I wasn't walking in my purpose, so God kept throwing those obstacles at me to kind of get me to realize, like, this ain't what you're supposed to be doing. And that's how I was feeling. Like, I was running a taco truck selling meat, and I wasn't eating my own food. And I was trying to tell people it was good. I'm like, oh, but I don't even eat meat. How am I going to, you know what I'm saying?
So you wasn't manifesting that energy you was pushing. Nah, I like that.
Bro, I'm over here a vegan, vegetarian, just trying to sell meat to people for profit. So now I'm not even aligned, bro. Like you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, now I'm just doing stuff to just make money now.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm having all these problems, and I'm not passionate about it. But now, making the transition we've made, I feel passionate about what I do. I feel like, hey, I'm actually doing something. And again, I tell people all the time, like, deep fried vegan food isn't the best either, but it's still a good, healthy, better sustainable cheat meal. You know what I'm saying?
I had the tacos.
Yeah, don't eat there every day. I tell people, don't eat there every day, but it's still something that, you know, you're not feeling bad because it's not a cow, it's not a chicken or a pig. It's just, you know, fruits, vegetables, it's plant-based, even the cheeses. You know what I'm saying? It's a higher grade of oils. You know what I mean? But it's like, I still tell people, still, you go to these Impossible Burgers and stuff, don't eat that every day. Like, that's good to throw in as a cheat meal, but that stuff still will kill you too because the caloric intake is still high. And the worst thing you could be is an overweight vegan. Like, that's what I tell people. You cannot. Because people waiting for that. They be like, well, if you're a vegan, it's so healthy. Why you? I'm like, oh, you know what I mean?
You can eat often. I mean, come on now. Cows is fat. Cows eat grass all day.
I'm just saying, though, because once you do switch to vegan or any kind of diet like that, you end up eating more carbs usually. Because that's how you kind of fill yourself. You eat more bread.
Yeah, that's true.
That's your filler. And the caloric intake is crazy, bro. You know what I'm saying? So if you're eating that three times a day,
that shit is obviously not going to be all that good for you.
You might be healthier. Your organs might be healthier. You might feel better, but you're going to still make your heart work harder because you're a little overweight. So you got to still maintain a decent BMI, even though I think BMI is phony because it's off of the
body mass index.
It's because of, like, some of it's based on the data from, like, the military back in the day.
So, really?
Yeah, it'll say a person like you is like 20 pounds overweight, and it's like, what? Like, if you go to the doctor, that's what they'll tell you. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Based on, like, height and shit.
They were like, there was a time they're like, oh, you're obese. I'm like, because they're off of what the chart, but it doesn't go off of muscle mass. It just counts all your weight. That's crazy, huh? So you can be a swole big dude, but it's like, oh, no, you're overweight for your size. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, how does this work?
Dude,
yeah, I don't know.
That don't even make no That don't make no damn sense. I stopped listening to the doctor when they told me, three times in a row, they said I was 5'11". Fourth time, they trying to say I'm 5'10". Obviously, that's a lie. Because me and you see eye to eye, and you like 6 feet.
I don't know, bro. You might be shrinking, bro.
Nah, hell no.
You might be shrinking.
Hell no.
But no, that's important. So, like I said with the pinky story, like,
yeah,
walking your purpose, bro. And I feel like that's what you got to do, bro. Like, you can't be like a pastor at a church and then run a strip club on the side. It just... I don't think you're going to be blessed the way you think you is because you like conflicting lifestyles.
Yeah.
In one life, you like preaching one thing. And on the other life, you're trying to make money off of the thing you say you against.
Hey, see, and look, that right there has to be the realest thing ever because even pursuing our own brand, that was the same exact thing that I ran into because one moment my boy's like, yo, Wayne, I'm making like 400K a year doing this, like, but his method is different from ours. Mm-hmm. He has a program. He's selling people like an idea just how to make money off the middleman. I jump into the business. We go full LLC, everything, because I'm so focused on, okay, let's make sales. Let's get this. Let's get that. And then it's like, okay, once I started to rush everything, like how you said, like instead of me focusing on trying to really worry about the next generation and the quality of it and actually wanting to make sure that once you receive our product is everything that it's supposed to be, bro, manufacturers start falling through. People that I'm getting ready to send money through an invoice, all of a sudden I'm getting random messages from third-party vendors saying, hey, Have you talked to blah, blah, blah? Yeah, look out for them. And I'm sitting here like, a lot of people can have a lot of credentials to really make you think that you're doing the right thing. But it's like, unless you really sit down and really do background information on people that you're going to be working with or products that you're going to be getting for the business, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. And instead of me trying to just, because, bro, we were just going to sell toys. We're going to sell baby clothes. We're going to sell whatever the hottest electronic. Bro, I was going to sell sex toys.
Just to get it going.
Just to get it going. Just to get some money. But I'm like, okay, if I do that, then I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm now catering to the people.
You just follow.
I don't want to cater. I don't want to follow
the trends.
I don't want to be the first person on the trend that's going to happen. I want to be in my own lane, and I want to dominate that area, because do people sell water bottles? Yeah. Do they sell insulated ones? Yeah. But how many of them have daily affirmations on them that come with two caps and rubber? So it was just a matter of, you were a vegan at a taco truck who realized, maybe I need to do a vegan Mexican taco truck, because before I ate at your truck, I never heard of that.
Yeah.
Never heard of it. Yeah. Never heard of it. I'm smacking these tacos, dipping them like they BDS. I'm like, yo, this chicken, y'all boiled it into something good. She like, oh, no, that's jackfruit. This is jackfruit.
Yeah.
So, like, you really adapted. Like,
you got,
I really like that.
You got to, man. You got to be aligned, bro. And that's what I believe now. Like, if you walk into that, man, and like, I think that's been the infrastructure for my life. And I feel like, you're good. I feel like every month I'm growing more and more from that. Just that, making that move. You know what I mean? And I see the game time. I want to hear your story on that, though. Like, you said, you were kind of telling me a little bit, like,
okay,
you kind of were telling me, like, where the name come from, or like, what made you think of,
so
did you come up with that, or?
Honestly, it was a time where me and my wife at the time, we weren't in a good place at all, relationship wise, just wasn't connecting. Like this was a time where, at this exact time, I'm not top rate at where I'm at. I'm like fucking 2 years away from that.
Yeah, so you still trying to get that
bread. I'm still trying to build the mentality, because I'm like, dude, I'm tired of check to check. I'm tired of, okay, we can go out and shop, but then I come back and I'm like, fuck, my credit is not really all that good. So me realizing my credit was fucked, me realizing, damn, me and my partner's not in good terms right now. I was fat as fuck. I'm smoking hella tree, like, not glorifying nothing, bro. Like, really on some stressed out, can't talk about nothing shit. Yeah. Just,
it wasn't even like a leisure thing.
It was like a vice, bro.
Yeah, like, I needed that.
To get through the day, bro. If I wasn't smoking, I'm not mad because I'm not high. I felt like it was that nicotine. It was that hand to the mouth. It was that ritual I had. And I'm like, bro, I'm a black man in America, and my habits is coming home every day, smoking weed, arguing with my girl, and being fat as fuck. I got the newest shoes. I got 1,000 pairs of them shoes. Credit fucked up. So, you know what I realized?
That's like a typical story.
Bro, but that was where I was at. So then I had to realize, okay, me being a black man in America, I had to swallow the pill that I will have to work harder than everybody. I do have to come a lot more articulate than somebody who's fair-skinned. I do have to know what I'm talking about a lot more often than somebody who was lighter than me. So it's like, instead of trying to have all these cop-outs, I start changing my diet, start eating cleaner, start eating meat cleaner. Instead of my woman not doing this, she not doing that. I wasn't doing for myself. Just because I'm paying bills, I'm not talking to her. We not talking about shit. I grew up in an abusive-ass household, so automatically being verbally, tearing somebody down verbally is exactly what I was used to. So I had to realize, okay, I'm fucked up. This is exactly why I'm fucked up. Let me change this, because You can't be a king of a castle without your queen, and you cannot steer a ship if you are not the captain. So instead of me trying to be a passenger on my ship that I want to go places, but I'm not steering it, I had to get behind it. I had to work them hours at work. I had to change my... Bro, that's real shit. Like, you feel me? Like... That's a bar, and that's some real shit that I had to swallow, that I had to go through. And then I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to be the man of the house, and I'm going to be the black man in this relationship, guess what? I'm going to have that persona when people look at me. So let me get my mindset right. Let me start, hey, babe, I ain't trying to be in your pocket, but this is where your money going to go. You ain't got no bills, but I need you to do this. She good. I start getting my buddy from work. Okay, let me get rid of the plug number. Let me delete all these shoe things out of my phone. Okay, now focus on just strictly my credit. Okay, work is killing me, but now I'm not trapping in the streets no more. Guess what? I gotta put in them hours. Just because everybody around me saying, oh, you a slave to the money, to get out of the situation I'm in, I might have to be a slave to the money. I don't got it like y'all. I don't got a safety net. I don't got a mom and dad. So once I realized all that, I'm like, fuck, like, I really had to get this shit together and get it going, and it's game time. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, damn, like, I understand that it was a mental issue that was messing with me, because you can't amass controlling more money or amass your life by, hey, Carlos is eating like shit. Let me take all the food out of his house and give him clean food if Carlos doesn't have that discipline to only want to eat clean food. I can't get to where I want to be. I can't be the big entrepreneurial guy I want to be if I can't stack $10,000 if I'm trying to build relationships for people to give me $10,000. No. If I can stack it, I can talk you into giving me 20 because I already got the discipline to establish 10. So once I realized, okay, it's all a mental thing, right there in the media, I want to say, what's her name? Simone Corday, the rapper's girlfriend, Naomi Osaka.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was going through a mental thing. She took a mental day. She took a step back. Everybody hated her for it. She didn't give a fuck. She's like, dude, I'm fucked up. I know what I need to get my day through.
Yeah.
And if $50,000 is the ticket for y'all to leave me the fuck alone, it's worth it. So I'm like, okay, she knows that it's game time to get the bag, but she had to mentally examine the inner her extensively to get through it. So it was really just the blood we put into the brand, the sweat that we put into our brand, and the tears stay 24 degrees cold, 18 hours hot. That's the slogan.
Yeah, you see, that was product placement. You see that? He getting so story and like...
You feel me?
Product placement like a motherfucker. That was
cool. And it's like, I just really want everybody to know what it means to have an affirmation every day.
Oh, for sure.
To speak things to existence, for sure. To be somebody who's active, to say, okay, I'm Carlos, I got a vegan truck, guess what? I'm eating vegan. Not only am I selling y'all food, I'm the lifestyle. I go to yoga places.
Yeah.
This is me. This is who
I am.
So I can't be all I am in a brand if I don't understand that mental health is the biggest thing. If I can't help people understand that, hey, your life will change if you have an affirmation and you announce into the world, this is me.
Yeah.
This is who I am. This is what I can do.
Yeah.
Because the power of your words is everything.
100%.
100%.
And you know what's crazy? Going back to what you're saying, it's like, you got to do that, bro. Like, you got to put yourself out there and you got to represent your brand. Because I bet there's a lot of, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure like some of these CEOs of like Burger King, McDonald's, da-da-da, they probably don't even eat there, bro. They probably like, I don't eat there, but they the CEO, though. Like, you can't be that, bro. Like, if you really about a product like you say you are, you know what I'm saying? You
gotta stand behind that.
You know what I'm saying, though? If you can't be like, you got a fast food, you started Wendy's, but you tell your friends, yeah, that ain't good for you. I don't eat there. Like, but that's your restaurant.
That's like when you go to a car dealership, dude pushing a Honda. I'm like, hey, what kind of car you drive? Oh, bro, I drive a Toyota. Anyways. Why you drive a Toyota? Because, bro, it's a better car. Oh, I'm going to Toyota then.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not practicing what you preach.
Trying to get you in a Benzo, man.
Yes, sir.
Side note, though, car salesmen and more specifically financial managers at car lots, shadiest people. I want anybody watching this, bro, go into a dealership with your paperwork right, bro. I suggest I don't know why I'm passionate about this, though.
Drop game.
Because before I fixed up my credit situation, walking into the car dealership was a nightmare, bro. People talk to you crazy. And then you go in there, you know, with a good credit score, and people want all of a sudden want you to be best friend. But my advice for anybody is go to your bank you got a relationship with, get a pre-approval through your bank before you even walk in the dealership. So you already know how much you can spend. You already know what your APR is going to be. That was one thing I did. I banked with Golden One. So I was like, okay, I need a pre-approval. They was like, okay, we can get you up to X amount. Boom. I'm like, okay, cool. So now I walk in the dealership. I already know what my APR is going to be. I already know how much my monthly payment is going to be if I say any certain amounts. So I go there, I act like I'm shopping in cash, and then as soon as we get to the back, I'm like, okay, now I'm using my pre-approval for my bank.
They don't like that.
No, because when you tell them, I'm going to pay for it all today, all of a sudden they start, oh, okay, well, we can get it for, it's 27, but we can get it for 24. I'm like, okay, cool, good. Then you get to the back and be like, you know what? I just called my bank. I'm just going to do 24. Let's finance it. Oh, and they're like, what?
Because they want to throw your credit around to every credit union. They want to give you their own custom APR rate. And 9 times out of 10, I ain't going to lie, they will fuck you based off how you look, bro.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Guaranteed.
Nah, I like talking guaranteed. Crazy. Me and my boy Andre, I hope he sees this. We be fucking talking. We went to the car dealership recently, and we just be talking reckless, bro. Like, oh, we like, oh, really? Oh, we just leave, bro. Like, because you got to be like that. Like, those are people I will be really assertive with any day of the week.
You have to, because if you're not, you got to think. For you guys watching this, you got to think. Car salesmen are not people. They are not human beings, okay?
Oh, my God.
They're literally reptilians.
Oh, my God. Shady. Yeah.
Why do you... Come on, bro. They... Come on. What people on the planet can know how much you make a month, know your credit situation, and still willingly want to fuck you for the next 5 years? That can't be human.
I know. That's fucked up.
That can't be human.
You know, it's so crazy, bro. Car salesmen are horrible, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's
what... Not accurate, guys.
I don't know, bro.
I love them.
It depends on where we're going, because you know people be getting crazy here whenever you go. You know what I'm saying?
Shit, accurate guys out here, they show mad love.
It's cool right here? Oh,
hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I don't know. Who you talk to over there?
I talked to the owner. Last name the Guzman. The head guy. I went in there with my bank shit. Went in there to get the car I had. I ain't going to lie. They was like, bro, we going to need like $1,380. I said, $1,380 for an act right? You're tripping. Left. What? Yeah, $1,380 a month. Nigga, who I look like? I said, oh, like, no. Nah. Hey, I said, nah, I'm good. I'm leaving. Dude, come back outside.
Wait.
Hey.
He like, numbers again.
He, exactly what he said. He's like, right? Dude, the best I can do, bro, I want to say my shit is like $850.
Yeah.
I said, but you just showed me $1,300, and you said there was nothing you could do.
So I walked away.
Bro, he looked me dead in my eye. He was like, oh, man, I had to negotiate. And the worst part, look, I'm never the guy to be like, hey, yo, Carlos, we both black. Like, what's up? But the salesman was a black dude. He was the only black dude. I was there alone, and I low-key was like, for real, my nigga? You gonna let them niggas do that to me? Yeah. $1,380. You walked out the office with that? $1,380? And ooh, you came chills. Back with this? I said, my nigga, I said no for 10 minutes, and you came back $600 lighter. Oh, man, you know, I'm like, we supposed to be brothers.
Car salesmen are like...
Snakes, bro.
Snaky, bro. I don't know why we're even talking about this, but I got some bad run-in with some car salesmen, bro.
Bro, like...
I want smoke with any car salesman, bro. Seriously, bro.
What's the worst situation you ever had? I feel like this is, well, like, personal now.
So, this is the thing. So, this is me being young. So, I think I was, like, 19. I went and got, like, a... It was, like, I think it was, like, 2013 or something. And I got me a 2012. Or it was 2013, and I got a 2013 Honda Civic. Brand new, 0 miles. And I was like, cool. That was my first, like, car financing myself, whatever.
Okay.
Whatever. So I get the whole situation, yada, yada, yada. And they're like, okay, your payment's going to be 420 or something. It was like 425 or something. I'm like,
For what year?
It was of the year.
Okay.
So say it was 2013.
And you got it 2013. Yeah. Okay.
So it was like four something. And they're like, okay, it's going to be for a three-year term. I'm like, that's easy. I'm like, 3 years, four term. I'm like, whatever, boom, boom. Whatever. So long story short, I get through 2 years of the term. I call, I say, well, how much time do I got left? They said, you still got 3 years left. I said, what? So they've got you on a five-year term. I said, so they told me it was a three-year. And I ran the paperwork. The paperwork did say 5 years, but they told me it was 3 years because I was young. I was 19.
Whoa!
Hey, Honda in Stockton, I'm going to smoke with y'all. What's up?
Honda Stockton? I know a guy there who's always telling people, AP.
Oh, no.
What's his name?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I won't say his name. But he didn't swindle you, did he?
Nah, that was some cat.
The nigga just bought a new Corvette. It wasn't him, was it?
Nah.
All right. Damn, five years?
Yeah, they got me, bro. Told me a wrong term, and I did it. I didn't even know what the APR was. I didn't know my interest. I didn't even understand that stuff, bro. So then going from there, and I've said it kind of, but not really. So going from there, I was so upset. Like that day, I was like, you know what, fuck this. I'm going to go trade this car in to Chase, because I got from Honda. I'm going to give you something different. Dumb mistake. You know, I should just rolled out those 5 years. So I go to Chase, trade in that car, and I'm low-key upside down in it still, because I only had it for like a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't even break even on it yet. So now I'm transferring like $2,000 of debt or $3,000 of debt over to this new car now. So, and you know, that's going to make my payment a little bit higher anyways. You know,
yeah.
50, 80 bucks more a month based off me just transferring that money over.
Yeah.
So then I get into like a Chevy Malibu of the same year. And my payment at the time, I think I'm working and I'm making like 600 bucks a week, 500 bucks a week. My car payment is like 550. So I'm using one of my whole checks to pay my car payment at the time because I'm working part-time.
Oh, yeah.
Right? My gas and insurance is taking a whole nother check basically.
Another five.
Yeah, another five. My gas is insurance for the month.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm living off like $1,000 to $1,200 a month. And I'm renting a room with roommates. So now I'm living off of nothing, bro. I'm living off of like
how much was you paying with roommates?
Not much, like $400 for a room or something like that.
$500 a week, four checks, two whole checks was on the car. One was for rent, so you had $600 for the whole month?
For the whole month, for like groceries and
miscellaneous.
And I'm living like I remember we spent like, I was talking to my boys, I'd be spending like $50 a week on like groceries, trying to live by myself for like 7 days.
Oh my God.
Because I'm just being stupid, bro. But I didn't understand it. And I didn't understand, I think I had an 18% interest rate on there. I had young, unestablished credit, and I didn't understand it. When they know you don't know about interest rate, they don't even bring it up, bro.
They don't even ask.
You gotta be assertive, bro. So I like to go in there. Now I go in there with a vengeance. Like I'm trying to.
Every time I go in there ready to spit game.
I went there with my buddy. We went to Yuba City. He got a truck. He had a Jeep, traded it in for a $70,000 truck because he has a couple different hauling businesses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we went there and we was getting active with him over there and they was trying to turn up. Because they brought back a
price sheet.
They brought back a price sheet at the dealership and they're like, okay, this is going to be the breakdown, da da da. And I'm looking through it. I'm like, well, what's $900 right here? You know how they got that breakdown? I'm like, under security systems, why is it $900 for that?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well, you got a life lock thing in case it gets jacked. I'm like, oh, we don't want that. He's like, okay. They was getting mad at me for speaking up for my boy, because my boy, he had never been to a dealership by himself. So he's just not trying to get swindled.
He's
like, hey, bro, you want to come? I was like, yeah. So I'm like, nah, we don't want that. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, oh, yeah, it comes with dent protection. I'm like, oh, well, where is that? Is that under accessories or safety? And the guy gets up. He's like, what does it even matter, bro? Like, got crazy. Old white dude got crazy with me. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And they walked away, and I told my boy, I'm like, hey, bro, this is your deal, bro. If you want this truck, get it, bro. But I'm just like, you know, if they was me, I'd probably be gone by now. But people talking to you crazy.
Everybody trying to get you into a deal.
They're upset when you start challenging their thinking, because that's cutting to their bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was telling me, too, and I don't know the validity of this, but I know that you don't always want to put a down payment down all the time, because sometimes if you have bad credit and you're putting a down payment, it won't even go towards the car. Sometimes, like, I had a friend, they wanted him to put a down payment down basically just to finance the deal. Like, not even to, like, help his balance.
Yeah, see.
Like he had to put, like, $5,000 down just to get into the car. Like, it wouldn't take... It wouldn't take the price of the car down. It would just help you get financed. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Bro, that's not even a real fee.
It just goes to the dealership so they can upgrade, you know.
But see, that's... And that right there is the gap that I'm trying to mend. I 100,000% believe that There's no such thing as rich people and poor people. Poor people have bad or worse spending habits because the communities that we grow up in, that's all that's normalized. Carlos, you just got that check? Let's go blow it. You just got your taxes? Let's go cash out. You just got a refund? Let's go get a new car. Why do you think in the hood, the tow truck be sitting right there on the corner? He waiting for motherfuckers to fuck they bag off. Because that gap of understanding how to get your money, save your money. If you living in the hood, save that money. Like, that right there, how you was a young-ass kid, $550 car payment. Instantly, being around white people with money, I've learned that, yo, if your car payment is more than half of your check, it's too much. If it's more than half, it's too much. And too many people nowadays be like, yo, I make $2,000 a month. My car payment is $800. I could afford it. But it's like, will your car ever break down? Like, there's so many things to take into accountability that a lot of young dudes don't know. Like, bro, I can't tell you how many young dudes I know who on the motherfucking, in a contract for 6 years in a Hellcat. And they living at home with their mama paying $950 a month. $700 in insurance. And it's like,
hey, right, bro.
Bro, our society is success is based off of what you have. I don't believe Carlos Bryant is successful until I see a fat ass chain on his whip.
That's crazy, bro. And that's why I don't get caught in the social media, bro. I've taken so many, and I say this all the time, I've taken so many losses and I've had so many wins that I don't post online. That if you didn't know me, you'd think I wasn't doing nothing, bro. You would think I was like, this guy isn't doing anything. What is he doing with his life? Just because I'm not like, you know, with a bottle of 1942 in the club on the gram, then I'm not on it.
Yes.
But that, you know, and I'm it's so sad, bro, because you can easily get caught up in that. But I know all that stuff is fictitious. It's not real, bro. Like,
yes.
Why am I like, I'm happy, bro. I literally wake up happy, bro. Like,
whole outfit is under $30. Oh, proudly.
You looking fresh too.
Proudly. Proudly because I got in the mindset of, bro, I like when I'm knocking on million-dollar homes, ain't nobody wearing Gucci, Bape, Louis Vuitton, Hermes. Nobody's wearing that shit. The only people wearing that shit is the people so caught up in looking like they doing something while motherfuckers is really wearing white tees and basketball shorts every day because he getting off a plane, getting off a jet, having a meeting, going over here, talking to Carlos, going over there. Like, when you making plays, you not out here looking fresh. You out here looking like a bum. You missing barber appointments because you so hungry to get there. And it's like, I can't tell you how many times, bro, even with my job, motherfuckers would be like, oh, I don't know how you could be working there. Don't you guys get paid the same as the other guys? Isn't it like 19? Why would you assume I'm making $19 sitting here talking to you about your fucking kids? You think I give a fuck about your kids for $19? I don't. Like, real, like for real. But we need to close the gap. Like, one thing that I was thinking about having, like, a Discord group, and we call it generational wealth. And, like, let's say the group, I got it right here. I can download Discord, and pretty much the group would be a whole bunch of people of color, entrepreneurial. If you're doing something, you got something going on, and everybody, we all contribute. Like, Carlos, you opened up a truck. Everybody from that group, hey, let's go to Carlos' truck. Everybody buy one burrito. Carlos come out with a t-shirt line. Our group got 10, 20,000 people in it. Everybody buy one t-shirt from this dude. And every month, we select one person to do that to. You got to come in, show us what you got going on. And everybody from the group, we do it to you. And to keep the members feeling like we fucking with them, as soon as you join, we just go in line from there. Every month, we choose one or two, three people, and we support that business just to create that generational wealth. Because if a million black people give one black person a dollar, and we all do that, that's how you break the curse. That's how you break the gap. That's how you break the young black dude going into a dealership thinking, oh, man, I'm finna be dogging in a Hellcat. When it's like, bro, you getting out of that bucket with no car payment And you, like, I don't know, bro. Like, I can't tell you how many times I have to sit down with my young niggas like, bro, you telling me you want to go get a car and get your own place because you're tired of living at your mama house. Why would you go get two brand new things that cost money and move out of the place that don't cost nothing? Oh, nigga, because what I look like staying at your mama's house and getting further financially? You a bum? Why are you a bum? Like, people only feel like shit because if it wasn't for me trying to promote my art on my social media shit, bro, I wouldn't have one. For what? Social media is the biggest killer of joy because too many motherfuckers go on there and fuck theyself up off comparison. I can't be happy with my rap career. Look at this nigga Carlos. He over here doing this. He got all this shit going on. Stink ass, active ass nigga. Like, people are really not like that. Evil eye shit is real, bro. As much as you try to create good energy and keep it going for yourself, like how you say you don't post all your wins. Bro, the bottle brand is on the need to know. Like, only people who I really, really fuck with know what's going on.
For now.
Because it's not like I'm trying to keep it a secret. It's I want my shit to be cemented so when you see it, oh, I bet he gone, what bitch already got a store? Oh, you ain't gone what the second order is already in. Whatever you already anticipating is already done. You can't shit on me because the end game of what's being posted, that's not all it is.
Yeah.
Because if you're not posting on socials, people think you not on shit.
Yeah.
But until they see you in person, like, oh, okay, you got the drop top, nigga. And it's like, but you see that's him in person, nah. Vans falling apart.
Hey man, I'm trying to look more bummy this year. I'm trying to be in the cocoon with it. Like you said.
But yes, sir.
But look, let me say this, man.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of different things I do that people don't know I do, bro. Like I'm telling you, they probably think like this guy's just
like what? Don't keep it a secret.
Nah, man. I'm just
like what, man?
Man, I'm flipping that YOLO, bro.
Nah, no, he's not. No, he's not.
Just like high. I guess high bird's eye view level, like. Man, there's a lot of things I'm trying to start, man. There's a lot of things I'm trying to do with my fitness. There's a lot of things I'm trying to do with... Like right now, I got, you know, I'll tell you guys, I got the Turo play going.
Turo? Renting the cars? Yes, sir.
Sir, I bought... That's why I talk about the dealership. I went to the dealership. In 1 week, I bought 3 vehicles.
Okay.
I'm all Turo running right now. I bought... Monday, I bought a car. Tuesday, I bought a car. Friday, I bought a car.
Did you do the... Whose game plan? That wasn't Millionaire Trapper.
No. I know he did that.
You know what I'm talking about?
I just kind of jumped into it off of like learning from those guys. But uh-huh. I paid for a course from a young lady named Saima out of LA. She only does like high end Corvettes and stuff. And I learned the game from her. And me, I went for the cheapest high end car I can get. Not high end, but like a car that I felt like people would want to take, you know, their significant other on a date. Like, cause you gotta think sometimes, like, I tell somebody all this time, like, okay, say I go get a Camaro and it's a V6, right?
Mm-hmm.
People on Turo don't give a fuck because they can't afford to drive a V6, a V8, a 4-cylinder.
They just want that motherfucker for a day.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Take their girl or wife out for a lunch. So I was like, so you telling me I can get say it's 2022, now I can get a 2021. V6 Camaro for the low and rent it off for $100 a day?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? And it'd be gone 15 bucks, 15 days out of the month at least, so I'm making $1,500 a month off of a car, and the car payment is only, like, $480?
Yeah.
Like, I'm making $1,000? Like, what?
Bro,
yeah.
See? And
that's what I want you gotta have. That was a cool play I kind of hop into, and then what the cool thing about it, too, is my girl likes it, too, because it's like, if we want to go to L.A., if we want to go out of town, we just book the cars to not get booked at that time. And then we drive them. So typically, you might catch me around town riding around in a 2007 Camry. Thinking like, this guy is a bum, bro. Like, what is he doing? But
it's like, yeah, I'm just taking my car to the drop point.
Yeah.
But see, that's when...
People see you be like, this guy losing it, right?
But, bro, that's when you know you reach the level when people don't know what you got going on. And you know you're still making plays. Yeah. Like, bro, for a long, long time, I was posting my stock portfolio every day. Niggas was in my DM. Sick. Bro, how? How do you know all those plays? Motherfuckers don't know I'm on YouTube 10 hours a day. People don't know I don't listen to music at work. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm listening to programs I'm got. I got motherfuckers who really in the game that I'm just trying to just get game from. So it was like after a while of me posting, I didn't think I was flexing. I was just like, yo, I'm excited. I want to share it. All the DMs and all the comments and all the hate, yeah. The shit just really make a motherfucker just want to take a step back and really just, bro, like how you said, Plain Jane, bro, all my swag, all my juice is gone. Gone. The homie came over the other night and I sold it all.
Hey, you know what? Piggybacking off what you said, bro, because you were talking about how you unfollowed everything. Mm. There was a time where I think, what is it, Soul Collection or whatever. It's one of those shoe things I was following on Twitter, bro. And you can ask my girl, bro. I literally, bro, we were buying, like, a lot of gear because I followed it. I had the notifications on. And he would be like, new Yeezys drop in 10, 20 minutes. I'm like, fuck it. Yeah. I got 500 for him. Like, what, you know what I mean? I'm like, and then all of a sudden, you like, damn, I spent $1,000 on shoe this month or on gear. Or, damn, did I really need these slides?
You
or
never
like,
need it.
So it's like, once I followed it, I haven't bought shoes since. Like, yeah. I noticed that I only was buying it because it just, because
the notifications.
The fear of missing out. You're like, oh, man, the new J's. I can just get them and flip them. But you never flip them. You just
want but them. As soon as I realized, damn, why am I tripping off the new Dunks when they came out for 100? Niggas want 400. And new pairs is coming out next week. That right there is called the debt consumer cycle. That's when you get all these hype beasts out here wearing Supreme looking like the shit. That's when they go on social media. Bro, I promise you, everybody that's been popping in the media with that shit, weeks later, come out with a, hey, y'all, my life is fucking ruined. I fucked my credit away. That car was a motherfucking rental. My whole life is a fucking lie. I was just doing it for y'all. Bro, all these niggas out here chasing clout. Like, if you really in your area getting your money, man. Bro, that shit fall off, bro. You stop caring.
Yeah, man.
Like, these Gucci's is old as fuck, bro.
I don't know. I like them, though.
I mean,
little Gucci things. But, well, you know what, though? Like, you can indulge, bro. I think you can indulge, and I want that for, I want that for my relationship. I want, like, you know, if my girl one day tell me she want a Benz truck, I'm gonna be like, hopefully I can be in a position where like, fuck it, let's go get one. Like, you know what I mean? She's not really materialistic like that, but if she ever did want that, I always tell people this, even if I have kids later, if somebody asks me for something, I want to tell them no because it's a lesson to teach them, not no because I can't afford it. You know what I'm saying?
100,000%.
I'd rather tell them, like, no, son, you don't need that right now because you need to work. Instead of being like, oh, no, son, I
can't do it because my shit fucked up.
Yeah, fuck that. So I want to tell people no for lessons, not no because I can't afford. Because I want to be able to afford different things because I feel like those experiences, a lot of friends I have, their parents were taking them to Paris and France when they're 11, 12 years old.
Yeah.
Their mindset's so further ahead at 18. They've seen the world, bro.
Yeah.
They have a different scope.
Yeah.
Some people around here, they've always seen a Stockton, the only place they've been their whole life.
And that's why when you, like, unless you hang around folks that's been places or you get around people who want more for themselves, you'll end up in that same exact fishbowl mentality, bro. Like, I'm sitting here. I got a bomb-ass job. I'm trying to sell art. I'm selling NFTs. I'm starting a bottle line. My wife, she's doing three other things. She also has a career. And the only thing anybody could focus on is, why don't y'all got no kids? Why? Because I've been with my girl 10 years. We've been together since we were 17. Why the fuck was I going to have kids at 19? Fuck no. So now we at the place where our mindsets is where they need to be. Now we getting this fucking money. So kids is not even a priority. It's all about just fucking just, damn.
He's crazy, man. You about to say something crazy, you already know.
I agree with everything you're saying because it's like, until I stopped hanging around the folks that I grew up with because of the love that I have for my niggas just because how we was when we was kids. Bro, when I hang around the square-ass niggas that they hated, they the ones who, hey, Dwayne, you want to learn about stocks? You trying to learn about some crypto and shit? Jeez. Bro, let me show you. Bro, like, the whole Procreate program, I didn't even know existed until homies was like, hey, why are you still painting? You should try digital. If I was around brothers, they would have never said that. Bro, I got motherfuckers who look just like me besides you, and a lot of the shit I'm doing don't even get mentioned. dudes that I don't talk to solely because my mindset is they don't know where I'm coming from because of how they look, ask about my shit all the time. Hey, bro, when's the new podcast? Hey, what's up with the new artwork? Hey, what's up? Can I get a bottle? I'll buy like 30, 40 of them.
Yeah.
But the ones who I share all my information with, all my partners, they never ask.
No, that's a thing, too, I've noticed, too. I've noticed, like, within my inner realm, a lot of people will reach out for guidance and help. And I'm always, usually if I'm available, I'm there, you know, whatever. But then that's where I noticed, like, sometimes the reciprocation is not there. Like when you dropping something or you doing something or a new product come out, people will be silent with it. And I'm not saying you got to support me because you're my friend. Like, I don't want to be that, like, oh, you need to be posting me because I'm your friend. But you do notice that stuff. You're like, hey, this is kind of
you
crazy.
See it.
Yeah, you're like,
you see
wow,
it.
Okay.
You posting Jay-Z happy birthday, though. you posting Kanye West beefing with Pete Davidson every day, though. So regardless of you saying, like, I respect it, yeah. Like, I respect, okay, that's an entitlement thing. I feel like you're my friend. You should support
me.
Yeah,
I don't want to
be entitled. I feel like that's me feeling entitled.
Yeah.
But you expect your woman to love you and be loyal, right?
Yeah.
Not because she your woman, but because of the relationship y'all got, right? You expect your mama to love you, not because she birthed you, because that's your mother and that's the bond y'all got, right?
Yeah.
So if you always, hey, Carlos, what's happening, bro? What's good? If that's really the vibe, then why don't I ever get a repost? Why you only want to show love when 30 other people is posting me on my birthday? Why you only want to post the podcast that you was in? Like, if you really fuck with my shit and you love it, show me. But it's the same thing with entitlement. You can't expect people to act how you would for people.
You got to just go above and beyond.
Yeah.
But that's why I told me and my girl, I had this conversation, I think, today, actually. We had a conversation today, and she was just saying that the things we do for people around us might not be reciprocated, but that's why we're so blessed. You know what I'm saying? Health.
Yes.
Everything financially, we're getting money coming in on a consistent basis. Like, that is due from, you know what I'm saying?
Showing love showing no love, matter what.
Yep, yep, yep.
And I've learned that, so it's like, now it's like,
don't phase you.
No, don't phase me. Don't phase me. Hey, Carlos, here's a thousand. Hey, Dwayne, I don't even want an explanation. You good, though? Perfect. Carlos, I'm getting a thousand again. But I'm not finna, you know what I mean? It's just, I've learned to just take shit and just go on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, after reaching a level of just being all the way happy in every field, bro, it's hard to get phased. It's, I promise it's hard. It's hard, I try.
Yeah.
And then I think about it and I'm like, God is good.
God is good.
God is good. Like, blessed, black, highly favored, entrepreneurial, great mindset. Niggas technically ain't supposed to make it out from where we come from. Technically.
We trying to make it.
Like, how many times people meet you and be like, what? You're from Stockton?
Nah, no, dude. People be like, they be
you're
like,
just so?
they be like, nah, I be talking to people. They be like, well, where'd you go to school? I'm like, bro, I went to high school. You didn't go to university? I'm like, no. Like, this is just, it's funny. I tell people, I learned a lot of the game from, like, hip-hop culture and, like, music, bro. Seriously, like, the J. Cole's and stuff. Like some of my vocabulary is from listening to some of these artists young on and, like implementing their word schemes into my, like, that's why I talk so highly. I didn't read a lot of books or anything.
Hell no.
I just listened to a lot of, like, intellectual, like, Tribe Called Quest, like real hip-hop artists that, like, they were saying these crazy words. I'm like, what does that mean?
Just real high-thinking black folks, honestly.
I love that.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
And honestly, I wish we can go more. I knew it. I told you. I was like, look, it's an hour, but you my mans, I ain't seen you in a while. I feel like it's going to casually be more than that.
That's easy.
And now we only 2 minutes away from an hour.
Yeah, man.
So before we get cut off, man, this is my man's Carlos Bryant. Man, you want to tell him some of your tags?
Hey, my tags, everything is Carlos Bryant, 209, Instagram, Twitter, anything, YouTube. Just check me out, man. I appreciate D having me come through.
Yes, sir.
Man, and just everybody listening, just chase that dream, man. Chase that dream. Game time.
Game time, baby. I'm not going to lie. I am for sure. Shit, now that I got you on, I don't know why the fuck I didn't have you on IG. That's weird.
Yeah,
that's real oppie right there. I see this dude in person.
Hold on, bro.
Out of nowhere, I'm like, Why don't I got Carlos on IG? Yeah, I don't know, man.
He said, I was trying to push this bottle. I said, I don't know if I'm
going to
go up there.
I don't know if I'm drinking out of Wayne bottle, man. Hey, baby, game time. Hope you guys enjoyed Cypher Something. I have plenty of content on the way. Check out Forella Galleria on Instagram. This is a new segment I'm adding to Let's Talk Forella, but I just wanted to give insight and feedback and perspective on certain topics and point of views from everybody's life. I hope you guys enjoy the beat because we worked really hard on it. Shouts out to Little Uzi Squirt.